the book of Esther. What is today? Is today a holiday? Palm Sunday. Anything else? See, I started dealing with this issue because, you know, the calendar that we use and the Jewish calendar do not always line up. And, of course, Easter, or Resurrection Day, when was Jesus crucified? What Jewish holiday? Passover. Passover is still a month away, but Easter is next week. And so today, of course, in the Easter tradition, today would be Palm Sunday, celebrating the time when Jesus came from the Mount of Olives and descended into the city of Jerusalem, and they laid down their clothes and their palms in front of them. And some said, this is a disturbance and we should stop it. And Jesus said, if these don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. So, you know, he entered into the city, and that began what, you know, the final week leading up to the resurrection. You know, it didn't lead up to the crucifixion, it led up to the resurrection. But today is also the Jewish celebration of Purim or Purim. And so we're going to talk about that today. How about that? Good idea. I didn't see anybody dragging their palms behind you, so it will be all right. You didn't get all dressed up for. Of course, you didn't get dressed up for Purim either. See, with Purim, you dress in costumes. If y'all would have known, you would have. I know it. But you wear primarily masks. But when I was in Israel a few years back, we were there for Purim. And I mean, it was wild. They were wearing all kinds of costumes. I mean, going to work and going to school and going to the restaurant. They just dressed up in their costumes all day long. And you scare people and, you know, have fun, have pranks and stuff like that. But we're going to look at Purim and Esther today. Let's pray. God, thank you for the time that we have here. You've blessed us so much. We're grateful for the blessings you've given to our country, to our church, to our homes and our families, to each of us. God, we pray for Sister Sheila that you will touch her body. Give her what she needs. Give direction and wisdom that she'll have no doubt what your spirit, what you say to her, so she can follow you, heal her body, make her strong. And then for Sister Betty and all the family, we're thankful for Brother Clinton and the way he served you here in service to us also. And we're thankful for his service and pray that you will help us to honor him and to honor his legacy by watching after Sister Betty. And we're thankful for the family and pray you'll fill them with love, that they will know how much we love them even right now. For others that are grieving and sorrowful and hurting and struggling today, show us how we can help them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the book of Esther, did you figure that out yet? Page 558 in your Scofield Bible, the book of Esther. For the celebration of Purim, there are four observances, four ways that we would celebrate Purim. And one is to read the book of Esther. So we'll do that part, and you can knock that off your list today, okay? The other one is to give charitably to two needy individuals. And so I won't ask you to raise your hands, but if you can find somebody in need, if you give to two of them, then you've met your observance for today. It's not going, you know, it's just part of the tradition, part of the celebration. And then three is to share your food with somebody. I understand some of them are going to Sonny's today, and I might show up. No, but you share food. You give food to them. And then finally, the last thing would be to have a festive meal, a celebration. And that's if we were Jewish and we were observing Purim, that's what we would do, those four things. But there is a wonderful story in the book of Esther. By the way, the name or the word God is not mentioned in the whole book. Isn't that incredible? God took this and he put it in his Bible, but his name's not mentioned specifically the whole time. But the point of the message is one that we all need. Let me back up and say, since we're in the book of Esther. We're talking about Purim, and we're not talking about Easter or Palm Sunday or the resurrection. We're not talking about those things today. But you should know this, is that God loves you, and He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for you. And because Jesus died on the cross for your sin, if you'll put your faith in Him and say, God, I put my faith in You, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul, God will hear your prayer. It's so important. If you're counting on your good deeds or your offerings or going to church to get you to heaven, none of that stuff helps you get to heaven. If you share food with somebody or give charitably, that's not going to help you get to heaven. The only way that we can have a personal relationship with God is to ask His forgiveness, putting our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so if you have further questions, of course, you can catch me alongside somewhere. And probably what we will do this morning, I know, very unusual way, right, is we'll probably not read 10 chapters line by line and word by word. Is that okay? And if it's okay with you, we'll reference the text and I'll tell you the story. You see, there was an invasion on Israel. They took from Israel, the whole nation of Israel, when they went in there and they destroyed everything, they took the best and the brightest, the ones who could contribute something to Babylon. They'd say, we don't just want to get anybody. We want to bring people that can help us to be greater. And how many of you think you would have been taken? All right. So you would have gotten in. And so they took them to Babylon. And so now there's been another takeover, and Ahasuerus is king of the Medes and the Persians. And it's a great big empire that he's over. And so he looks around at what's going on, and he says, you know, we're doing a pretty good job. Let's celebrate it. And so he says, let's have a feast. They had a feast. They had a party that lasted 6 months. Sounds like your first two semesters of college, doesn't it? All right. 6 months they celebrated. They had a party. I mean, they had a big party, a grand party. And then when that was done, he says, okay, the party's over. Let's have another party. And so they had a party. And the Bible actually says in verse number 7 of chapter 1, they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another. Royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king, and the drinking was according to law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So what does that mean in the plain English? It means that nobody got in trouble for being drunk. It means that it was a celebration and they were actually expected to get drunk. And you say, well, my goodness, that's in the Bible? Yeah, that's in the beginning of the story. And so they would drink and they would get drunk and they were excessive, and that was accepted because that was the kind of the idea. A lot of drinking in excess. And so the king was feeling a little tipsy himself, and he says, and this is in verse 10, he says, bring the queen. She's beautiful. I want all you guys to see how beautiful my wife is. And so the chamberlains, the young ladies, went to get the queen. And the queen said, and this is in the Pahokee translation, all right? The queen said, he's drunk. I'm not going. He's not parading me around like a piece of meat. Not going to do it. Well, he's the king. I don't care. I'm not going. And so they went back and they told the king she's not coming. And that's when women's rights began, right there on that day. And so the king said, she's not coming. They said, yeah, she's not coming. Oh, he got mad. He got angry. He got outraged, enraged, raged. He was angry. And he said, that's not acceptable. Well, it wasn't just him that was angry. It was those people around him. That, you know, those friends. Y'all got some of those friends? Oh, king, you gonna let her do that to you? Come on, king, you're going to let her talk to you that way? You're going, king, you told, you're the king. You're going to let her not come in here. She, you told her to come in here. She's not coming in here. You're going to let her get away with that? Y'all got some of those friends? Don't listen to those friends. They're bad friends. Well, finally, we get down to Memucan, and that's in verse number 16. Memucan says, king, here's the problem. The problem is when our wives found out that your wife talked back and didn't get in trouble, we're going to have problems. When our wives find out that they don't have to say yes, sir, to everything we say, there's going to be a rebellion, king, is what's going to happen. And in fact, the word that he used in verse 18 is contempt and wrath. If you ask me, Memucan had contempt toward the women. But the king says, you know, you're right, we got to do something. And so what are we going to do? Say, well, what we'll do is we'll say she's no longer the queen. Take her office, take her crown, take the estate of royalty away from her, and you find you a new queen. But don't just find you a new queen, find you a younger queen. Find you a prettier queen. And we're going to find that. We'll put up ads. We'll just advertise all across the empire. We'll say the king needs a new wife. And we'll get every girl from here to the other side of the kingdom to come, and you'll be able to just pick one. And what do you think King Ahasuerus said? He said, that sounds like a good idea. And so they banished Vashti. They say she can't come back. She's no longer the queen. Bring her crown and put it over here, and we're going to hold it because we're going to find us a new queen. And so the word went out, the post went out. You can imagine going to your town and there's the post board of the news and it says the king is seeking a new queen. And so, of course, what does every mama do? Every mama says, you're the prettiest girl in the whole kingdom. You got to go. And I bet some of them weren't, but they went anyway. And so then it narrows down and we find the ones that were the choicest of those who were investigating for the king, and they bring the prettiest and the most eloquent and all that kind of stuff, and they bring these girls, these young women, to the palace. And they put somebody in charge of them. They say, now get them cleaned up, make them as beautiful as they can be, and then we'll get the king to pick one. All right, so far everybody's on board? One of the people that had been taken from Israel was a fella by the name of Mordecai. And Mordecai was a man of stature, if you will. He was wise. He was humble. But he was kind of a no-nonsense kind of, like a John Wayne kind of guy. And he stood at the gate in the marketplace as the people would enter, and people had respect for him. And his uncle's daughter, which would make her what? His cousin, he had taken in to raise as his own because she was younger. So he had taken her in. What was her name? Esther. And so we bring Esther in, and Mordecai's raising her as his own, and he sees the news, and the king needs a new queen, and Mordecai says, you better get in there. And so she does. She ends up in there, and she makes the cut, and she ends up in the final grouping. But Mordecai, of course, he's outside the palace. He's at the gate and he sits out there. You know how guys will do. Y'all ever go by an old country store and see those guys just sitting out there? Yeah. Or drive by someplace and here's a bunch of guys just leaned over on the pickup trucks. Just, you know, when you lean on a pickup truck, let me show y'all. You got to have your hip just right though. You gotta. Am I wrong about that? You can't just lean on a pickup truck. You got to have your hip way back there. Anyway, So Mordecai was one of those guys just standing around the gate, hanging out, you know, talking business, talking, you know, the news and all that kind of stuff. All right, Mordecai. Well, now there's another guy named Haman. When the Jews tell the story of Purim, of Esther, and they say the word Haman, the audience always goes, like they huff, because Haman's the devil. Like Haman's the evil guy. Haman's the Hitler of the story. And so anytime they say that name, the Jews always go, ugh. All right. So Haman is second only to King Ahasuerus. He's the head of the princes of the empire. And when Haman would walk by, you had to bow. Whoa. You know, that's that humility. You ever walk into a military academy or even some of the police academies that are paramilitary, when you walk in the door, they all get up against the wall. You ever been in that situation? And when an officer walks by, a lot of times the enlisted men, they have to stand up, stand back. That was basically what we're seeing here. And so anytime that Haman would walk by, Mordecai and all the other men were supposed to kind of bow, like not look him in the eye, pay him, due respect. By the way, the Bible says, and that was the law, he's basically royalty, so you got to bow to him. Mordecai said, I'm not bowing to him. And so Haman would walk by and all the men would bow and Haman would not. And Mordecai would not bow to him, and Haman got so upset about that. It irritated him so much that it obsessed him. It possessed his mind and his spirit, so he wanted to destroy Mordecai. And he noticed something about Mordecai. You know what he noticed? He noticed Mordecai is a Jew. He said, you know what I'll do in order to kill one man? I'll convince the king that we need to kill all the Jews. Isn't that something? It's incredible. And when we think about it, and we look at what's going on in the world today, we can see how that would happen. How we despise one person so much that we turn against everybody associated with them. It's very familiar, isn't it? Mordecai gets the king to sign a decree. The decree says all throughout the kingdom, anybody can take up arms against a Jew and kill him. And there was a certain date set. And on that day, all across the land, we're all going to participate and we're all going to kill the Jews. Tragic. How could they be that way? That was their mentality. By the way, why were the Jews there? Because they brought them there. How about just this? How about y'all just go home? You think they would have said, yeah, we're going home. All right, here's your opportunity to go back to the house, your homeland. Well, Haman wants to kill Mordecai. He wants to kill all the Jews to get Mordecai. Something happened though. Mordecai is sitting in the gate. Sitting there talking to all the guys, he hears two guys, big, ugly guys. It doesn't say that in there, but let's just go along with it, all right? And these two guys, they say, we're going to get the king. We're going to kill the king. Mordecai learns of the plot. He gets word back to the king, and those two men and their conspiracy to kill the king quashed. Those two men actually were hung. And so, there's a note in the book. It says, Mordecai saved the king's life. All right? It's just one little few verses here, but it's important. Mordecai goes to Esther, gets word to Esther and says, hey, look, I know you're isolated. You're in the palace. You're living the big life and eating the best food and wearing the best clothes, sleeping on the best, most comfortable bed and all that kind of stuff. But out here in the real world, there's a notice that's gone out. And the whole empire is postured to kill anybody that's Jewish. And we need you to go in and talk to the king. And she says, Mordecai, you don't just walk in and talk to the king. It's not an open door policy. You have to be invited to talk to the king. And he said, look, this is serious, and we're up against time, a deadline. You've got to do something. And she says, well, you don't understand. If I go in there and he doesn't want me there, he can just kill me. Y'all remember what happened to the other queen. Like, this guy's serious. Like, you don't just impose on him. Look at what he says in chapter 4. We'll actually read a few verses here. Verse number 11, the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Verse 13, Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai is so wise. First of all, he says to her, you're Jewish. What makes you think you're going to survive this slaughter? Secondly, I have enough confidence in God to know that God is going to make a way for the Jews to survive. Number three, you could be in this situation where you are right now for this great purpose. This might be exactly why you've come to this place in your life. You ever think about that? When faced with a challenge that you think is too big and you don't understand the purpose and why would God let this happen in my life or why would God bring me to this place? And Mordecai says, you may be suited for just such as this time. This may be the turning point for someone else. God's going to make a way. God's going to work things out, but he could use you to do it. Think about this. How many people do we know that needs salvation through Jesus Christ? Now, next Sunday's Easter. Nobody gets offended when you invite them to church on Easter. Bring your friends. Talk to them about what is Easter about? Do you know what it's about? Jesus was crucified for our sins, to wash away our sins so that we can be forgiven before God. And Sunday is the day we celebrate the resurrection. That's what it's about. Maybe you are in that person's life for just such as this time. There are people, if you look back through your memory, there are people that you knew. I would say, well, do you know so-and-so? And you might say, well, I used to know them. I don't really know them anymore. I haven't been around them in 5 or 10 or 20, 30 years. But for that period of time that we're around them, maybe that's the season, the window that God has opened for us to reach them. And that's what he is saying so much to Esther. This is your time. This is your turn to make a difference. Verse 15, Esther made them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's what we call a hero right there. Somebody who says, no matter the danger, no matter the risk, I'm willing to do it to save others. I'm willing to do it if it might save others. If I perish, I perish. So, she goes to the king, and what does the king do? He holds out the golden scepter, which means, come on in. And she goes in and he says, wow, I've missed you. You're beautiful and glad you're here. And why are you here? She says, well, I need a favor. What is it? He said, I'll give you anything. Up to half the kingdom. Whatever you want, you can have it. She says, well, I want you to come to a banquet. And I want you to bring Haman with you. Well, I mean, you got number one and number two in the nation. And so he says, okay, you came in here to invite me to lunch? Yep, that's all. Okay. So the next day, guess what? Haman gets invited in for a banquet with the queen and the king. And boy, don't you know, he thought he was somebody. Hey, guess where I'm going? I'm going to the palace to have lunch with the king and the queen. Hey, I'm going to be busy. I'll be busy this afternoon. I'm going to have lunch with the king and the queen. He was that kind of. We talked about ego and pride and all that stuff this morning. This is Haman. Y'all met those kind of people, right? Bragging about it. And so he goes and they have lunch. And so the king says, well, really, what's the purpose behind the banquet? She says, well, I do have something to ask you. I really do. But I tell you what, let's have lunch again. Let's have another banquet. He says, well, of course, why not? And of course, Haman goes back and he's just having a great time. He's so happy. He's telling everybody he had lunch with the king and the queen. He was a guest and it was just them and how wonderful it was, and bragging and bragging and bragging. That night, the king can't sleep. King Ahasuerus is kind of tossing and turning, and he says, guys, there's got to be some way to get me to sleep. Pull out the records. Let me read some history. Let me hear some history. Y'all read the history to me. Well, they're reading about the king. They're reading the chronicles of the king, and they come across this event. What happened? Mordecai spoiled the conspiracy and saved the king. And the king says to himself, you know, I never did anything for that guy. I never did anything to show my appreciation of that guy. I need to do something. And so he's got that in his mind. I got to do something to just celebrate that guy, Mordecai. Next day, Haman's complaining about Mordecai. His wife says, you do get that you're like second in command of the whole country. Build some gallows and swing them from the gallows. Hang them. Be done with it. Man, you are so obsessed by this guy, you can't enjoy anything in your life. And that's what he said. He said, you know, I had dinner with the king and the queen, and I can't even celebrate it because when I walk out, there's Mordecai. Everybody bows except Mordecai. And I can't stand that guy. Okay. Trying to figure it out, how am I going to kill that guy? He has the gallows built to hang Mordecai. He's about to go in and ask the king, king, let's get this guy, let's hang this guy. And word comes to Haman, says the king needs to see you right away. So he rushes in there and he says, yes, king, what can I do for you? He said, Haman, let me ask you a question. If there was somebody that you really wanted to honor, I mean, you wanted to go all out, what would you do? And Haman thinks, he's talking about me. Well, what can I say? Well, he says, king, I tell you what I would do. Verse number 8. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear. Oh, that royal robe. And the horse that the king rideth upon. Oh, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. So, the king says to Haman, verse 10, oh, that's great. Oh, that's good. Get all that stuff together and get Mordecai and do that. Oh, boy. The trap he set ends up tripping on him. And the praise he pronounced goes to his enemy. Isn't that incredible? Well, you talk about upset. Haman's upset now. So we go the next day and have the banquet. And the king says to Esther, now what is it that you wanted to ask me? She says, well, there's somebody trying to destroy my people. He says, destroy your people? She says, yeah, destroy my people. And the king said, who would that be? She said, him, Haman. Well, the king realizes he's been played. He thinks about this order that he signed that's been posted all across the empire. And he realizes that Haman did that to destroy Mordecai and to destroy Esther's people. He just gets up in a huff and goes out of the room, walks out into the courtyard. He's kind of got to get his senses about him. You know, I signed the law, I posted the law. What do I do? Well, while he's out there in the courtyard, Haman realizes he's in trouble, and Esther is sitting on the bed. And Haman comes over and sprawls out on the bed saying, please, you've got to go to the king on my behalf. You can't get me in trouble this way. And the king walked in while Haman's laid across Esther's bed. And the king said, you think you're going to take my wife now? But look, before he could finish saying what he said, the henchmen were there putting a hood over Haman's head. The security came in and took him out, hooded, and hanged him. The decree is not only reversed, but with this caveat, all those who conspired to kill the Jews are now fair game, and the Jews can retaliate against them. And Mordecai is promoted into the seat or office of Haman. You know, there's a couple of valuable lessons in the book of Esther. Number one, I love what Mordecai says. Look, God's going to make a way. You can either be part of it or be on the outside of it. The other one being this, if we stand by while the enemy comes for them, we have to realize that sooner or later the enemy is going to come for us too. Right? They came for the baker, but I wasn't a baker. That one. We've got to defend the defenseless. And then, of course, that great statement that Mordecai says, Esther, it may be that you're here for such a time as this. We are not alive. I cannot go back and change anything about the Civil War or the World Wars or the Vietnam War. Or I can't go back and change history, the discovery, if you will, of America or the development of America or any of that. I can't change any of that. I'm here now. And so are you. With a purpose from our designer to be here now among the others who are here now so we can make a difference. This is the time. You and I could put our faith in Christ and accept Him as Savior and give our lives to Him and live for Him and help others find salvation through Jesus, hope through God, love in the church. We've got to help them find the peace they're missing. Or we could just be selfish and live it up. But let me assure you of this. Life is brief. We had a service Thursday for a dear lady that passed away on her 90th birthday. 90 seemed like a long time to a lot of us, but to some, it's getting closer. Doesn't seem like so long anymore. Whether it's 90 years or 100 years or 40 years, as was shared this morning about someone who passed away, or 52 years, somebody passed away. At these ages, this is all we've got, is this life. When we take our final breath here and step over to the other side, that's eternity. this is the only turn we get at living here. And so we need to give it all we've got, make the most of it. Yes, enjoy it to its fullest. But also, make it have purpose. Let's stand. Putting our faith in Christ, showing our love for Christ, showing our love to others. We've got to make a difference with the time that we have where we are. And not let life pass us by. Oh, I'm living it up. I'm having a good time. Good. But what's the purpose? Just to have fun? And what about eternity? Friends going with you? You're going to heaven? They're coming too? Let's not be negligent. Let's share our faith. Yeah, you're right. They could find the answer some other way. They could watch a TV preacher or tune in online or read a tract or Google it. Mordecai says, maybe that's why you're here. Father, we love you. We realize that you put us here for a purpose. You designed us with others in mind, that they would be saved, that they would come to you. We surrender ourselves this morning. We give ourselves to you and ask you, God, use us. Use us to make a difference. But if there's anyone in this room that does not have the assurance of their salvation, then I pray right now that you'll grip their hearts and that they will understand their need. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. If you want me to pray with you, come take me by the hand and I'll pray with you. But you can talk to God where you stand. God, forgive my sins. God, I give my life to you. God, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. God, I surrender. God, show me my purpose. Open opportunities so I can make a difference. This is your opportunity this morning.